pray for understanding. I think the message I'm going to give today, I'm kind of looking around the room, I think just about everyone will understand it anyway. But extra understanding so you can then bring it to others, because what we're going to cover today is really important. You want to operate in power, folks? Do you want to do mighty things in the kingdom? You need to understand what I'm going to preach on for the next 50 minutes. Hallelujah. So let's pray for understanding. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for that it's described as a seed or seeds. Thank you that the word talks about itself as seeds. And I thank you that we're about to plant some seeds this morning. I pray that these seeds are heard. So I pray for open ears, open minds. Pray for open hearts to receive this seed. Pray that this seed goes into good ground. And I speak out understanding for every single person in the mighty name of Jesus, so that those seeds are kept and germinate and produce fruit. We pray for understanding so that the seeds cannot be stolen away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm just back for conference. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what we're going to be teaching over the next wee while, what we're going to be preaching. I went to conference looking for the next big series, the next new thing that we're going to preach, and hallelujah, I got nothing in terms of new things, in terms of next big new thing to preach. And I'm really excited that I didn't. Because I've been wondering about what to preach. You know, we've just finished, 18 Galatians? Just finished that. I've got a couple of weeks to preach. And then I'm having a bit of a break because I'm away and I'm going to have a wee rest. So I'll be preaching this week and next week, and then Nunsy will be preaching for 4 weeks. Don't cheer, Carol. So Nunsy will be woohoo. Hallelujah. Nunsy will be preaching for 4 weeks, then I'll be back in the saddle. But I got I've got 2 weeks to preach, and then Nunsy's going to preach, and then what am I going to preach about? So I went looking for the next series and the next new thing, didn't find it. Hallelujah. And I've been pondering, before I went to conference, I was kind of pondering, what am I going to teach on next? And somebody got in touch with me recently and said, asked all these questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I thought, I could preach on that. But I've done that. We always talk about that. We've done that. And then I had this idea, a series I preached about 6 or 7 years ago, I think, called The 3 R's, Reconciliation, Righteousness, and Renewal. What God's done for us, what God's done to us, and what we do in return. And I thought, oh, Vic, every week you talk about righteousness. You're always going on about mind renewal. Don't know if I can preach on that. And then I went to conference to 3 of the best teachers, preachers that I know. Up comes Dwayne, preaches on righteousness. Oh no, man, it was fantastic. Up comes Wendell, what does he preach on? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Andrew will do something new. Healing. Oh, he'll do something new the last day. Giving, offerings. Man, I come back for conference, nothing new. Apart from a new excitement about the fundamentals of the word. Amen. A new excitement about the truths that we need to know in order to go on in our Christian walk, in order to progress, in order to have power, in order to see all these things that we talk about manifest. It's knowledge and understanding of the word that will change us. And it's knowledge and understanding of the topics that we already know. Or think we know that we'll really get to. It's the fundamentals we need to hammer home all these fundamental truths. I don't know what nuns he's going to be preaching on for 4 weeks, but I'm sure it'll be fundamental truths. Nothing new, but it was wonderful. Duane's teaching on righteousness on the first morning, I'd heard it all before. He used all my favourite verses. He said all the things that I say. I thought, he's been listening to me. I thought, it's so good, he's been listening to me. But it was just wonderful. And Dave Feldman was there. And if you know Dave, he's a guy who loves his preaching on righteousness as well. And when we met after that message, we just didn't have words to say to each other. We just high-fived, hugged each other. We were just so hyper. So what I came back with was a reinforcement of we need to know the basics. And what really excited me about the teaching at a conference as well was it was all related. They were like teaching on different topics, but they came together and they were related. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential, as is understanding righteousness. If we've got those, if we've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if we understand righteousness or our righteousness through faith, we're more likely to see the miraculous flow. We're more likely to see healings and abundance and prosperity. And as we see all these areas growing, we'll become more mature. And as we become more mature, we will give more. It just, everything came together in the teaching. We have bought the teaching. We'll distribute it later. But it's awesome. I came back for the conference excited, invigorated, and wanting to see more in the fellowship. And wanting to see more out there as well. But really wanting to see more in the fellowship. More healings. More abundance. More giving. More blessings. And that's going to come down to understanding the fundamentals more. Righteousness, forgiveness, reconciliation, mind renewal. But what I came away with more than anything from the conference is the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the importance of being in the Spirit and flowing in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Vital. So you will have heard these all before. Hopefully I'll string the verses together in a different way. You might get something new. But this is revision for most of you. But it is very, very important. Because there is a hurting world out there. And there are hurting people in here. Let's not just say hurting people out there. There are hurting people in here. And we must be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and help each other. So, turn with me to Acts 1. And in verse 1, I think I'll read down to about 9 maybe. So Acts 1:1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, I could spend a whole day preaching on that. Because what he began to do and teach, we're now doing and it's nae finished. But, never mind. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Awesome. So much to talk about in there. But here's the first point, first question for you. Who is Jesus talking to there? The disciples. That's the second question, Sean. Thank you. He's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the apostles. He's speaking to the believers. So, Sean, who is he also speaking to? Us. But it's important here for the flow of my message that he is talking to those who already believe. Those who are already following Jesus, followers of Jesus, whatever you want to say. He is talking to believers. And he tells them to wait. Interesting, because there's lost people just outside the door. Lots of things they could have been doing. But he tells them to wait. Wait, what for? The promise of the Father. Look at John 14. John 14 and 16, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. See, I try not to get sidetracked, but abide with us forever. We see that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Where in the Bible does it say he went back? It doesn't. Oh man, I think I'm going to say that later, but I just had to say it then. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and you shall be in him. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We'll see later, Jesus says, I need to go. But another comforter will come. Jesus came to them again in the form of the Holy Spirit. One God, three parts, remember? Awesome. Here's that promise. 14 verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what things? And bring what things? All things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. See, that we need the Holy Spirit to remind us about God's word. The word that we read, the word that we've heard, he'll bring that back to us. It's all there. In John 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. In John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The promise of the Father was the same promise that Jesus told his disciples, was that when I go away, the Holy Spirit will come. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples for the last time before his crucifixion. The last chance Jesus has to get really important details into the disciples. Because boy, times were going to get hard. And he spends a lot of time telling them about the Holy Spirit. So it must be important. The promise that Jesus is talking about in Acts 1 there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit for those who follow Jesus. And we know God always fulfills his promises, doesn't he? Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Holy Spirit coming to earth, baptized the believers as Jesus has promised, and the amazing truth is he has not gone back. We need to base all our doctrine on Scripture. Oh, the Holy Spirit is not for today. Well, where does it say it's not for today? Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible. He didn't go back to heaven at the end of the book. I've looked at it. I've gone to the end of the book of Acts. Nope. No, it doesn't say there. This age has finished. The church age, is that what it's called? The church age has begun. No need for the Holy Spirit anymore. You know what that is? Rubbish. Nonsense. It is just drivel. Is that stronger? It's a heresy. It's antichrist. Amen. Let's just put it out there. Let's just upset everybody. Hallelujah. We see the believers baptized in the Holy Spirit. Filled is what King James says, or the King James Version says. Filled, the Greek word pletho, fill, accomplish, furnish, in other words, to equip and enable. Filled means to furnish, to accomplish something. The words I take from it is to equip and to enable. And the word power is the word dunamis, we all know that. Power, mighty work, abundance and ability. So what does that mean? On that day of Pentecost, when the believers were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were given power and ability to equip and enable them to do what was required going forward. I'm going to say that again because that is what you get when you're baptized, or what you got when you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They were given power and ability to equip and enable them to do what was required going forward. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what we got. If we're telling other people about it, that's what they are going to get. We can tell them about that. Man, you're going to be equipped, you're going to be enabled, you're going to get power, you're going to be able to do so many things. So much more. You can try and do it on your own strength and fail. Or you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit and do it in the strength of Jesus, the strength of the Holy Spirit. Be enabled and equipped. Oh, that's good. And did it make a difference? That's not a question, by the way. Let's have a look. Did it make a difference? Well, we're going to look at my favourite character in the Bible for a minute. Go to John 18. And let's look at Peter. Good old Pete. John 18:15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. That shows something about Peter. Another disciple went in with Jesus. He took the brave step. Peter didn't. Peter stood outside. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Peter did go in, but he didn't straight away. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of the man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Denying Jesus. Verse 25, further on, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. I just noticed that, you know. I'm not having a go at Peter. I'm trying to show the change in the man. But Jesus is inside on trial for his life. And Peter's worried that he's cold. And he's warming himself up. Just thinking about himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Peter denying Jesus, not going with Jesus in his real hour of need, thinking about his own selfish needs, denied Jesus three times. Pre-Pentecost. Okay? Post-Pentecost. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and then gave the sermon of his life. Liable to be mocked and made fun of. No, he stood in front of thousands. Well, it must have been thousands because 3,000 were saved. So let's assume not all of them were saved. He was standing in front of at least 3,000 people, but it was probably a lot more. He stood there and gave the most amazing sermon. And it couldn't have been easy. This is easy to stand up here and preach, by the way. Do you know that? And give a sermon. Because you're all believers and you're expecting that and you want it. Peter stood up in front of unbelievers. And now he's got the bottle to preach an amazing sermon. How amazing. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Man, that's not a bad success rate for your first sermon to unbelievers. Yeah. If I was Peter, I'd be thinking, oh man, it's hard downhill for here. But it wasn't. Imagine that. It's taken me, 10 years to be preaching to 20. But he preached to thousands. First time. First time empowered by the Holy Spirit. Awesome. What a change. That's a different Peter. Acts 3:1-9. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, and I try and say this without going into the song, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. That's a different Peter. That's a different man. Bold. Enabled. Equipped to preach the gospel. To perform the miraculous. In Acts 4, I won't go through it, but we see Peter standing up to and preaching to Annas, the high priest. Days before, he wouldn't go in where he was with Jesus. But not many days after, they're dragged in and he stands up and he gives it loudly again. Peter would preach to the thousands. Peter would help the single man. Peter would speak out against the religious establishment. A different man. Acts 4:8 shows us the difference. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, I'm not going to go into what he says. But that is what changed the man. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. There is the key. Enabled and equipped to accomplish, fully furnished with what he needs to succeed. Filled with the Holy Ghost. But we hear some say, that was for then. That was to get the church started. That was to get it going. We've got the word now, we don't need that anymore. Now, the word is vitally important, absolutely. But we still need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say, no, the church is just here, we've got the word. There's no need for the Holy Spirit anymore. It's no longer for us. That was for the apostles, that was for the super dupers, that was to get the church established. No, not at all. Look again at Acts 2. Verse 16 and 17. This is part of the sermon that Peter gave. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. God said it was coming. But who was it for? Here's the really important bit. Acts 2, 38, I've read it already. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you believe, you can get this gift. But was it just for them? Well, look at the next verse. For the promise is unto you. So yes, the promise was for those guys standing in front of Peter during the Acts age. During the time of the book of Acts. It was for them. Peter saying, it is for you. And to your children. Okay, so the children were born during the age of the Acts. That's great. But look at the next bit. And to all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, the Lord God's called me. I've heard. I'm a believer. I was one of the afar offs. And I'm having that. So are you. This is talking about people in the future. It's not talking about the people 100 miles away or 500 miles away. My understanding is it's talking about the future. That's why it says you, your children, and those afar off. If it was a distance, it would say you, your neighbours, and those afar off. This is talking about generations. You, your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. Those afar off. You know, it's for those alive. Right up until Jesus comes back. So it is for everyone. Everyone who gladly receives can ask for and receive this baptism. It is free for all if you're a born-again believer. Let's see it in action for born-again believers. Acts 8, verses 12. But when they believed, i.e. when they became born again believers, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So, we've seen people being born again, believing, and there's an active church up and running. Yes? You get that? Active church, full of born again believers doing good stuff. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So there's this church somewhere else than Jerusalem. The head guys in Jerusalem hear about it and send two of the high hegians down to have a look at what's going on. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. People had believed. People were baptized in water. They were born again Christians, we would say. And what's the first thing that Peter and John do when they come down to them? Baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because verse 16 said, they had not received him yet. Born again believers. Clear evidence. Biblical evidence. Do we believe the Bible? Yeah. Where do we go to if there's disagreements about doctrine, about rules, about regulations, about what we can and can't do? Where do we go? The Word. Okay. Here is clear biblical evidence that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a secondary experience to conversion. Do you agree? It can be seconds afterwards or years afterwards, but it is a secondary conversion. It's something that born again believers need or need to do, need to have. It doesn't come automatically with salvation. Not this filling, not this receiving power. The apostles and the disciples that were with Jesus that were waiting for Pentecost, were they believers? Yes. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit for them was a secondary experience as well. Secondary experience. Clear evidence. And this is great because this is not just the super dupers who were there at Pentecost. This is another time. Ordinary believers. Gordon Bennett, and they were in Samaria. Goodness sake, of all places, says Jackie's, of all places, Samaria. Ordinary believers. Not apostles, not original disciples, ordinary believers like you and I. But Vic, you keep telling me we can't make doctrine out of one verse or one example. No, we cannot. So go to Acts 19. I'm going to make a doctrine out of two. We need to rightly divide the word. We need to look at different passages and see if the same thing holds. We really shouldn't just take one verse and make up doctrines. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. So Paul's rolled up at Ephesus, and there's born-again believers there. Yes? That's what the word disciples means. Followers of Christ. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Have you received? Haven't a clue. Don't even know about him. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Doesn't sound very successful compared to Peter. But it might have been the Hill Church. But there's a group of believers being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Disciples. First thing Paul says to them, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? Well, not sure. Well, let's do it. Clear biblical evidence again. Believers being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Secondary conversion to salvation. first thing he says to them, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit yet? You know, that's the kind of attitude we need to get to. We were speaking in the car the other day, and it was like, Nunzi challenged me. I don't know if she meant to, but what I heard, the challenge was, you need to stop saying about church this, church that, and start speaking about Jesus with people in the world. See, when we meet other believers, and they say, oh yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? We need to get to that attitude. Yes, yes, I love the Lord. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? That was Peter and John did. They went down to Samaria. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Paul rolls up to Ephesus. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Loads of churches out there. People need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do love the Lord. I go to the church of whatever. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Guys, isn't it funny this? Because there are brothers and sisters out there, born again believers, and we're going to be standing with them side by side for eternity. They're not second class citizens because they don't know about this doctrine or they don't agree with it, they haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But man, they could be operating in so much more power if they had it. Change them, change their life, change their churches. Oh, there we go. Anyway, Acts 19, how clear can it be? Receiving the Holy Spirit, separate experience from conversion, separate experience from their salvation. Here it is in black and white twice. Here it is in black and white twice. Twice we see a model for believers to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Believers who already have it, laying hands on them and asking for it. Simple. And in this account, and in the account of Pentecost, we see what comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We hear about this thing called speaking in tongues. Oh man, if ever there was a doctrine or an idea or a concept that's going to split the church. Eh? We see it as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see it as from God. Lots of other people in the church say it's from the devil. It's evil. How can you get that if you're reading the Bible? Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, first thing he does when he gets to Ephesus, you got the Holy Spirit? He gives it to them and they speak in tongues. Of the devil? Really? I don't get that. Never mind. Very controversial doctrine. Let me tell you why it is so controversial. Because the enemy does not want you to do it. That is why it is such a hot topic, hot potato, gets people arguing. Because the enemy does not want you speaking in tongues. He just does not want it. He is determined to stop you from doing it. So we have these doctrines saying it's of the enemy. He's clever, isn't he? He wants you to stop doing it, so he persuades the church it's from him. That's quite clever. If I could admire the enemy, that's a good strategy. I've done this with fantastic. Him and his minions are all sitting there. How are we going to stop the church speaking in tongues? Because we know that just equips them, it enables them, it empowers them. How are we going to stop that? And his little imp saying, see, it's for us. Genius. The enemy is putting vast amounts of effort into turning the church away from speaking in tongues. To such an extent that it was like gone for hundreds and hundreds of years. Same way as being in the Word for yourself. Doesn't want you doing that either. Gone for hundreds and hundreds of years. and we have the Reformation, we have revival, we have all this stuff coming along. He doesn't want us in the Word. He doesn't want us speaking in tongues. I have the privilege sometimes to get to go places and preach once. It took you a while. I get the privilege sometimes to be invited places and preach, right? And it's invariably in churches or fellowships, and it's invariably preaching to the choir, preaching to the converted, speaking to believers. I believe that's where my gift is, in teaching believers from the Word of God. Now, I could go into these places and start preaching law, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to stop doing this, and you've got to stop doing that, and if you don't do this, God will do it, and you need to tithe, you need blah, blah, blah. And folk will come up in the end and say, oh, what a fantastically challenging message, Vic. Oh, that, I feel really convicted. Thank you for that. And I get an easy time. I go into these places, and I've done it, and I preach about unconditional forgiveness. I preach about righteousness through faith. I preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what happens? All hell breaks loose. Why? Because the enemy wants us trying to live by law, because we'll fail. No opposition to that. But man, if we grasp unconditional forgiveness, if we grasp righteousness through faith, if we understand and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues, the enemy will start quaking. Why? Because we are now equipped and furnished and enabled to go out and do what we need to do. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, is exactly what the enemy does not want us to do. That's why there's been such a backlash about it. I mean, what kind of backlash has there been about trying to live under the law and do good things and earn your righteousness? Nothing. Nothing, really. But oh no, start telling people they've been forgiven and start telling people they've been forgiven for the sins they're going to do next week. Man, all hell breaks loose. Tell them they're as righteous as God through Christ. All hell breaks loose. Get somebody baptized in the Holy Spirit, go back to one of your denominational churches and start speaking in tongues. The enemy doesn't want us speaking in tongues. Why? Well, let's look up Jude 20. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues will build you up. It will edify you. It will encourage you. Anybody need to be encouraged this morning? Yeah, pray in tongues. Anybody need to be built up a bit? Yeah, pray in tongues. Anybody want to? No. Pray in tongues. You will be edified. You will be encouraged if you pray in tongues. See, speaking in tongues is for everyone. I'm not going to get into it today, but there are rules involved in speaking in tongues, but that's about speaking in public and about speaking in church. But it is for everyone to speak in tongues to encourage ourselves. And you cannot do that unless you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you're speaking in this funny language and you haven't been baptized, it is just gibberish. It's for everyone. Paul said he spoke in tongues. Paul said he would have it that we would all speak in tongues. We can interpret our own tongues. We can get deeper revelation about the Word through speaking in tongues. If we want to operate in power in the kingdom, we need to speak in tongues. That's quite a big statement. You know, we saw when Paul went to Ephesus, it said they were doing signs and wonders. So they were operating in some kind of power. They were getting some things done. But when Paul went there, he said, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Just think how much more they did and how much more they could do. Because without the Holy Spirit, they were doing signs and wonders. It's that extra power that we get. We need it. That's a big statement, some of you may be saying. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you need to be, is what I'm saying, in my humble opinion. As Jesus was preparing to ascend to his Father, he told the apostles and the disciples and the believers to wait for the promise, didn't he? He told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. When they could have been out spreading the word, they were sitting in a room waiting. Why? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit must have been important. When Peter and John met the brothers and sisters in Samaria, the first thing they asked was, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why? It must be important. Paul went to Ephesus. The first thing he said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Why? Do you see a pattern? Because it must have been important. Why am I teaching this today to believers? Who probably most of you are speaking in tongues, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why am I telling you this again? Because it is important. This is probably not the right thing to say. I'm trying to get the words. Don't get upset when I say this. But it's not enough to just be saved. Hear my heart when I'm saying that. I'm not being derogatory if you're just saved. Or people out there are just saved. Jesus died for our salvation, but he ascended and went back to the Father so that we could get the Holy Spirit. So we're kind of only taking part of the deal. Not accepting the gift of the Holy Spirit is criminal. I'm probably not getting the right words here. I haven't thought about what I was going to say, but just hear my heart. I'm not trying to be horrid or anything. But if we don't accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are missing out on so much. We're shortchanging ourselves. Other people are missing out. We can be effective to a certain degree. We saw that at Ephesus, and then Paul came in and said, you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To be more effective, to be fully equipped, to be fully enabled. Look at John 1:32. Here's another reason why Christians need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John 1:32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, him being Jesus. And Mark 1, Mark 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Friends, if Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need it. It's like people wear wristbands. What would Jesus do? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. John 5, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. In his flesh, Jesus couldn't. He says that. He needed the Holy Spirit. So do we. Let's have a look at Luke 4. Luke 4. Jesus went up to Nazareth into the synagogue, stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Look at what Jesus came to do. He came to preach the gospel. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to deliver people. He came to open blind eyes. He came to set people free. That's a great list, isn't it? That's wonderful that Jesus did. That's what he came to do, and he did it, didn't he? How was he enabled to do it? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, man. He had the Holy Spirit. If he needed it, we need it. Back to tongues. Because this is like the first evidence that we've been baptized is speaking in tongues. But it is so important that we do it. Man, can anybody testify? Oh, I'm reading a word, I don't understand what it says. Start speaking in tongues, bang. There's the understanding. Really, not really sure what to do in this situation. Let's start praying in tongues. I know what to do. Oh, it's so powerful, folks. When we speak in tongues, it is our spirit man speaking. That's what 1 Corinthians 14:14 says. Our spirit man has the mind of Christ. What does our spirit man know? Our spirit man knows all things. When we're praying in tongues, we're praying out of our spirit, and it's the mind of Christ, and we know all things. Man, we can't do anything but get revelation. We can't do anything but get extra understanding, because when we're praying in tongues, we know all things. We're praying out of the mind of Christ. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo? That's one of the most powerful things you can get. Praying out your spirit man who has got the mind of Christ and knows all things. Just need to get the interpretation and understand it, that's all. But hey, if we get that, when we're praying in tongues, it's like our spirit just communicating directly with the Lord. I can't understand anybody who doesn't want to do that. If we look at the scriptures, it gives us revelation. It's our spirit man speaking to the Lord directly. And that's of the devil? How perverse can you get? Something that edifies us and encourages us? Of course it's from God. What the heck? It's no rocket science, this. Speaking in tongues is good. Amen. Where do good things come from? Hallelujah. You remember the message from a few weeks ago. Oh, our spirit communicating with the Lord in this unknown tongue. It's awesome. I can't understand why people don't want the gift of tongues. Jesus said we should be doing it. Mark 16:17 says, "They shall speak with new tongues." It's a sign that we believe. What Jesus said. Guys, do you want to be powerful in the kingdom? Do you want to see more healings? Do you want to see more deliverance? Do you want to see more signs and wonders? Thank you. The answer is yes. Well done, Chris. The answer is yes. I do. I'm sure we all do. If you want to do anything, at school, at work, anywhere, if you want to do a job or whatever, you need to be equipped and enabled. You need to have some kind of power. Man, if we want to do great things in the kingdom, we need to be enabled. We need to be equipped. There's no doubt in my mind about this. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we need to be speaking in tongues. Every single one of us. Keep harping back to the start of Acts. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples, he just sent them out, didn't he? Just go. He changes after the cross. because he knows he's going away. He doesn't say, go on, just go. He says, wait. He told them to wait. To receive the promise. To get the power. Why? Guys, listen to this. Because what was waiting out there for them, they couldn't do in their own strength. Guys, what's waiting for you out there? You cannot do what you want to do in your own strength. We cannot do what we want to do in our own strength. We need, man, Jesus needed it. For goodness sake. I don't want to start shouting, but I don't know how many times I can say it. Jesus needed it, we need it. Oh, I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're better than Jesus. I don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why, are you better than Jesus? You can do it without Jesus? Without Jesus? Without the Holy Spirit? You're better than Jesus? We can do more things, greater things than Jesus, but we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. No doubt. The disciples, the apostles, the believers back then couldn't do what they needed to do in their own strength. If Peter wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, he couldn't have stood up and preached a message to see 3,000 people delivered, saved, set free. Not a chance. Jesus knew it was going to be tough. He told them to wait till the Holy Spirit came because he was leaving them. And they needed help. Man, I don't know about you, but what's going on in the world today and what's out there, I feel that we just need the Holy Spirit to function. It's not even, well, let's get the Holy Spirit to go out there and operate in power. It's like, do you not rely on the Holy Spirit just in order to function on a daily basis? Function appropriately, function accordingly. Help us to function, not just operate in power. That's what the Holy Spirit was for and is still for us. We need him. In our own strength, we can do nothing. That's what Jesus said of himself. We need to be saying that. In my own strength, I can do nothing. Not just a little, not some, nothing. If it was true for Jesus, it needs to be true for us. We need the Holy Spirit for revelation, for guidance, for praying in tongues, to build ourselves up. Oh man, if you think you don't need the Holy Spirit, you're deluded and going against Scripture. If you think it's not for today, you are deluded and going against the Word. It is unbiblical to think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today. We need this baptism and we need to pray in tongues. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.